And welcome into today's audiocast for Friday, August 24th, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource. Brought to you today by Aviation Safety Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney. At only 23 years of age, Barrington Irving is a man on a mission. In late June, he completed an around-the-world solo flight in a donated Columbia 400, becoming the youngest person to complete this journey. Now Irving is focusing his time on Experience Aviation, a nonprofit group he founded in 2005 to get young people interested in aviation, while at the same time bettering the lives of inner-city youths. AvWeb Editor-in-Chief Chad Trotvetter caught up with Irving to find out more about his solo navigation flight, as well as his plans for getting a younger generation hooked on flying.
In an effort to get the aircraft, the Columbia 400 aircraft, it took me 2.5 years to get my first sponsor. You know, originally I tried to get people to lease me a plane, let me borrow a plane, rent a plane, and that just wasn't working. So I said to myself, you know, in my opinion, what did I feel was the best general aviation aircraft that can get me around the world economically and provide me capability with technology, as far as from the engine to the cockpit system. And that's when I chose the Columbia 400. Didn't know how I would be able to get it, and that's when I came with the idea of going after the individual parts. And going after the individual parts, I approached Columbia, and I said to Columbia, hey, if I can get the individual parts donated, will you honor that and assemble the aircraft? And Columbia agreed, and I started going after the individual parts, the engine, the seats, whether the engine by Continental Motors, the cockpit system by Avedon, the speed brakes, precise flight, turbochargers, Kelly Aerospace, you know, you name it, I went after it, the seats by Oregon Aero, and so forth, to the point where we received 300,000 in donated parts for the aircraft, which is very monumental. And from that, we were able to finance the aircraft at half the cost. So we financed the aircraft. I was able to acquire the aircraft. And after receiving the aircraft, that's when I developed my own training course. You know, I studied and examined guys like Dick Rutan, Steve Fawcett, and many others who have flown around the world. I've examined how they did it, and then I just developed my own training course where I was able to, you know, fly over mountains, fly over water, you know, to fly from Miami to Jamaica and South America and back, you know, and I just developed my own training course that will expose me to different environments and dealing with understanding ATC also.
How did the flight go? I know there were some weather issues, but otherwise, who did you meet and what was the experience like?
To fly around the world is truly a one-of-a-kind experience. What makes it one-of-a-kind is that you see so many different cultures, different people, different ways of how the aviation industry operates in a certain country, to see others and their passion for aviation all over the world, to face adverse weather conditions. Originally, this flight was only supposed to take 4 to 6 weeks. Ended up taking me 97 days. I stopped on March 23rd, and, you know, I had to deal with snowstorms, sandstorms, monsoons, and the monsoons are really bad, tropical storms that passed through the Bay of Bengal, and a lot of weather challenges. But, you know, it was pretty frustrating and depressing at times, but what happened inadvertently was during this time of waiting, so many more students found out about the flight, and so many more people got involved that it actually turned out to work out in a positive way. So, you know, to fly around the world, you know, I departed, I only had 640 flight hours when I left for the flight around the world, which is very low, and I know a lot of people thought it was very dangerous. But, you know, I promised myself that I'll stay within the limits of the aircraft, and I'll stay within the limits of being a pilot. And, you know, 60% of the trip was done in IFR. Crossing the North Pacific was all IFR. You know, it's very challenging, but if you stick to the basics, you stick to the fundamentals, which is what I've done, you know, and stayed within my limits, I was fine. And there are plenty of times where I was pressured with no and go decisions and even decisions where if I didn't leave a certain country, I was facing, you know, being arrested or something because my permit was about to expire and so forth. And you know, but I just didn't let the situations cloud my judgment. And I just stayed focused on what I had to do.
Now, you said you left with 640 hours. How many hours did you log in the whole round-the-world flight?
Since I've been back, I honestly haven't had a chance to add up my logbook, but I know it's close to 150 hours.
That's still a lot of flying in just about 90 days or so.
You know, it's a remarkable aircraft. You know, when I crossed the North Atlantic, that Continental engine, the TSI-0550, I only burned half a quart of oil crossing the North Atlantic.
You're now doing your education outreach. Can you tell us a little bit about that, how it's financed, who you're reaching, and what your goal is with the Experience Aviation Group?
You know, with the Experience Aviation, our nonprofit organization, we also have a learning center based at Opa-locka Airport in Miami. And just because the flight is over with, the mission of aviation outreach and education still lives on. And currently right now, now that the school year has begun, we are preparing to launch at the Learning Center, where we've opened up our field trips. We have 10 Microsoft Flight Simulator pods. We have robotic exercises available for the students. And we're also getting ready to launch our 9-week after-school program, where we get 75 kids off the street. It's funded by the Miami Children's Trust and the sponsors. And we get 75 kids off the street once they're finished with school. Of course, a lot of the crimes that happen, you know, between the hours of dinner and immediately after school. So we get 75 kids off the streets, and what we basically do is we reverse our method of teaching, meaning what we're doing is exposing students to careers in aviation and at the same time, by exposing them, building their math, their science, and reading skills so that they see how applicable it is to their future. And so we're very excited about that program. And at the same time, we're working with Microsoft and their flight simulation team to recreate the flight around the world, the simulated environment where students will have the opportunity to download missions, flight missions from the flight for free. And they'll have the opportunity, you know, the experience of flight around the world, of course, simulated. You know, for me, when I was growing up and I couldn't afford to fly, and I'm sure for a lot of other pilots, flight simulator was the one thing that kept you intact and made you feel as if you were actually flying on your own. So we're pretty excited about all of the educational things we're doing, you know, in addition to also a book that will be coming out, a documentary that will also be coming out, and also a movie. So we're pretty excited about all the positive things that have occurred. For me, my focus is that, look, I've shown students what I can do, and my focus now is to have students show themselves what they can do in aviation. So I'm very excited.
It sounds like a long-term thing for you. Are you a flight instructor too?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm a flight instructor also, and my passion is to help out students. You know, any student, any young person out there that, you know, needs help or whatever the case may be, that's my passion, to help students. And you know, it's amazing. Of course, now our airports aren't as friendly as they used to be years ago, but the aviation industry comes off as an intimidating industry. And at the same time, we're facing this drastic shortage of professionals in the industry, whether it's pilots or air traffic controllers and engineers. The average age of engineers is 54 years old. And while facing this drastic shortage and trying to, you know, address this problem, I'm simply just utilizing my age. I mean, I'm only 23 years old. I'm utilizing my age to be an inspiration to someone, to ignite a spark in the mind of an impressionable youth to say, you know, so that they can say to themselves, you know what, maybe I can try this. And you want to take them from, you know, this is cool, let me try this, to, you know what, I think I can do this, to, I can't do this. So that's what we're focused on, that's what we're trying to do, and all of our sponsors, and you know, that's what we're fundraising for as we try to expand due to the drastic demand. You know, we've been receiving a lot of letters from teachers and students and parents, you know, that want experience aviation learning centers in different parts of the country and so forth, and for me to come and speak. And you know, when I left for this project, you know, it was just me and my best friend that, you know, developed this whole thing. And now the demand has become so overwhelming that, you know, now we're in our fundraising mode and also, you know, receiving grants and so forth to address the excitement and the interest that was generated from the flight.
Now, how can people contribute, and what's the plan for the airplane for the Columbia now that you're done with the round-the-world flight? You can use that for Young Eagles flights or in some other capacity.
Yes, I do plan to utilize it for Young Eagles flight and also to go around the country speaking to students, you know, so that they can have a chance to see the aircraft, test the aircraft, and so forth. And I eventually do plan to put the aircraft in a museum, but for right now, with all of the attention that this project has received, I feel that I can do so much more if I'm going out and outreaching and speaking with students in the aircraft and so forth. And, you know, anyone can make a contribution through the website, experienceaviation.org. They can make it online, or they can call into the office, which is accessible from the website, experienceaviation.org. And, you know, we're focused, and, you know, we basically look at things of you know, what's the need, and going about meeting that need in a creative way that will attract students. And in order to get young people in this industry, a key part that must be addressed is that we need more young people that are outreaching to other young people in order to attract them to the industry.
Do you plan to have scholarships to help people? Because flight training is not cheap.
Yes. Our goal is to provide opportunities and at the same time equip students with resources where they're capable of taking advantage of the opportunities that they have, that they will have through us. I just want to say that I'm grateful for everyone that has emailed me, everyone that has tracked the flight, has supported me, and also at the same time has outreached to students. To me, the biggest heroes in this whole thing are the sponsors and the folks that took the time out for a kid that didn't have much. And those are the heroes, and we need more heroes like that in aviation that's doing the same thing.
Experience Aviation's round-the-world pilot, Barrington Irving. If you want to check out his website, it's www.experienceaviation.com. Avweb.com. More general aviation news delivered more often in a more reader-friendly format. Check it out at www.avweb.com. Comments to audio news at avweb.com. And today's report was brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Check it out at aviationsafetymagazine.com. Look for AFWEB's next audio cast on Monday, August 27th. I'm Mike Blakeney for AFWEB Audio. Thanks for listening.